We come to message 3. The burden of this message matches the second key statement of this conference. This key statement says, the New Testament believers living under the grace of God in the economy of God, a total living of experiencing the process and consummated triune God as grace, consummates in the church as the organic body of Christ. The title of this message is The Believer's Experience of the Grace of God in the Economy of God, consummating in the church as the organic body of Christ. Based on this title, we want to emphasize 4 crucial points. The first point is concerning God's economy. God's economy is to work out an organism for the divine Trinity, which organism is the church as the organic body of Christ. The second point is concerning grace in God's economy. Grace in God's economy is the embodiment of God to be received by man, to be man's enjoyment and supply. The third point is concerning the living of the New Testament believers. The living of the New Testament believers is the living under the grace in God's economy, which is a total living of experiencing the process and consummated triune God as grace. The fourth point is concerning the accomplishment of the New Testament believers' experience of grace in the economy of God. This accomplishment is the organic body of Christ, which will consummate in the New Jerusalem. Many Christians ask, what is the Christian life? The Christian life is a life of grace, the experience of grace. The Christian life is also a life for the economy of God. Our Christian life has 2 aspects, the personal aspect and the corporate aspect. In the corporate aspect, our Christian life should be the church life. Moreover, our personal Christian life should be for the corporate aspect, which is the church life. According to the teaching of the New Testament, ultimately, our Christian life should be for the building up of the organic body of Christ. It should not merely be for our personal benefit or blessing. Neither should it be merely a life that glorifies God by an excellent living or good conduct. The goal of God's New Testament economy is the body of Christ. So our Christian life should aim at the goal of God's New Testament economy and be a life that accomplishes God's New Testament economy. How can we live such a life that is up to this standard? A life that can accomplish God's economy is a life that experiences the grace of God in His economy for the building up of the church as the organic body of Christ. The outline of this message has 4 Roman numerals. First, in Roman numerals 1 and 2, we will look at the Christian life in its personal aspect and its corporate aspect. In the personal aspect, the grace of the Lord must be with us in every aspect of our daily life, so that we may have a total living of experiencing the process and consummated triune God as grace. In the corporate aspect of our Christian life, that is, in the corporate church life, we should stand on the base of grace to receive grace, even grace upon grace. When we come to Roman numerals 3 and 4 in the outline, we advance from the personal aspect to arrive at the goal. This goal is to consummate in the church as the organic body of Christ and to build up the body of Christ through our participating in the stewardship of grace. Now we come to Roman numeral 1. The New Testament believers living under the grace in God's economy is a total living of experiencing the process and consummated triune God as grace. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come forward with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace for timely help." The throne mentioned here undoubtedly refers to the throne of God in heaven. In the whole universe, the throne of God is the throne of God's authority. However, to us New Testament believers, the throne of God is the throne of grace. The way for us to come to God's throne of grace is by turning to our spirit, by the simple exercise of calling on the Lord's name, "Oh, Lord Jesus," we can sense deeply that this throne of grace is in our spirit. Whenever we turn to our spirit, we come to this throne of grace, and we receive the supply of grace to be our timely help. Revelation 22:21 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen." The whole book of Revelation, even the whole Bible, ends with this one verse and ends in grace. After we have seen all the visions and all the prophecies in the Holy Word, what we need is still grace. Only by our experiencing and enjoying God as grace, can we live and walk according to the visions and prophecies that we have seen, and thus be able to fulfill God's eternal economy. Point A says, the Christian living must be the living of grace, the experience of grace. Our Christian life is essentially a life of having God as our grace. In 2 Corinthians 1:12, the Apostle Paul says, "For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in singleness and sincerity of God, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world and more abundantly toward you." In the crystallization study of Romans, message 20, the Lord's servant, Brother Lee, shared that in 1933, when he was brought into the work of the Lord's recovery, he was deeply impressed that he needed to learn to be single and sincere, and not to play any politics in coordination or to encounter anything by fleshly wisdom. Rather, he should do all these things by God's grace. This is also the attitude we should have in our Christian living and work. This is the living we should have by experiencing God as grace. Point B says, a total living means that our entire living is a living of the triune God processed to be grace to us. The Christian life is not a matter of doing certain things in certain ways. That is not a total living. A total living is our entire Christian living, which should be a living of the triune God processed to be grace to us. A total living is also not a matter of whether we judge people or not. That is not a total living. That is a fragmentary living. The so-called total living is a living that is 24 hours a day, during which we always take the triune God as our life and person, follow Him, and move with Him, so that the two spirits become one spirit, the two lives have one living, and the two natures are mingled together. Such a living is a total living of experiencing the triune God as grace. Such a total living is not a living according to being right or wrong, doing good or evil, or any other criteria. This total living is the living of a living person. The living of this living person is the living of the process triune God, mingled with the transformed tripartite man. In this living, God comes to be our grace, and we live in grace. This is the grace revealed in the New Testament. Grace in God's economy is the process triune God united and mingled together with us, and thereby living together with us. In such a living, we take the triune God as life and person, and take the triune God as the realm of our living. He takes the lead, and we follow Him. He and we moving together to live out a certain kind of life. This is what we call the organic body, to be God's expression. Here, it is all together, not a matter of being right or wrong, or doing good or evil. It is only a matter of having the triune God as grace to us. Grace is God Himself. What we need is just God, this living and wonderful person. Point C, the compound spirit is moving within us daily as the anointing so that we may enjoy the process triune God as grace. Today, the triune God has been processed and consummated to become the all-inclusive, life-giving compound and indwelling spirit. This compound spirit is typified by the holy anointing oil in Exodus chapter 30, verses 22-25. This compound spirit is not only compounded with the divinity and humanity of Christ, but also compounded with the death of Christ, the effectiveness of Christ's death, the resurrection of Christ, and the power of Christ's resurrection. This compound spirit is now moving in us day by day as the anointing, so that not only essentially, but also economically, that is, both in our life and in our move, both in our living and in our work, we can experience and enjoy the process triune God as our grace. This is the life that we Christians should live today. Every day, we should live and move according to the anointing to experience and enjoy the triune God in us as grace. Point D says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of grace, is with our spirit, which has been regenerated to be the dwelling place and vessel of the triune God. Galatians 6:18, Philippians 4:23, and Philemon 25 all said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. 2 Timothy 4:22 also says, the Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Point E. We are those who have received grace, which is the triune God, the Father given to us in the Son, and the Son realized as the Spirit, dwelling in our spirit. What is grace Grace is God the Father embodied in the Son and realized as the Spirit. Eventually, the Spirit is grace, and this grace is just the triune God consummated as the Spirit, now indwelling our spirit, mingled with our spirit, to be one spirit. Our spirit is the only place today where we can experience and enjoy grace. In order to receive and enjoy grace, we need to turn to our spirit. As God's children, we should exercise our spirit every day by praying and calling on the Lord's name to receive, enjoy, and experience the process trying God as the Spirit in our spirit to be grace to us. If we have this kind of living, gradually we will become one with the process trying God organically, so that He becomes our inner constituent and we become His our expression. Point F, because we are saints, the grace of the Lord must be with each one of us in every aspect of our daily life. In every aspect of our daily life, in big things and in small things, we all need the grace of the Lord to be with us. After we have seen Roman numeral 1 and its 6 subpoints, we need to see and consider our real condition today. Where are we indeed? What indeed is grace to us? In hymn 497, stanza 3 says, Paul the apostle counted all as dung. 'Twas only God in Christ he counted grace. 'Tis by this grace the Lord experienced that he surpassed the others in the race. Our living today and our work today should be the same as the living of the apostle Paul, experiencing and enjoying the process and consummated trying God as grace. Our total living should be this kind of living. We should not merely do some right things or good things. This kind of total living is altogether not in the realm of being right or wrong, or of doing good or evil. Rather, it takes the triune God as our realm. In this kind of living, we only take life as the principle. God accepts whatever is of life, and God rejects whatever is not of life. This life is just this rich grace. Having God the Father as its substance, God the Son as its element, and God the Spirit as its essence. This life is just God coming to be our grace. Our living should be this kind of living, which is under the grace of God in the economy of God, so that we may experience and enjoy the process and consummated triune God as grace, and consummate in the church as the organic body of Christ. Now, we come to the corporate aspect of our Christian life, which is the church life. Roman numeral 2 says, a genuine church is based upon the grace given to it in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians is a very long epistle. It has 16 chapters. In this book, chapter 1, verses 2 to 9, is a condensation of the whole book. In this portion of the word, we see a skeleton of the structure of the entire book. This portion of the word gives us a picture of what a local church is inwardly. Although this portion is very short, it clearly portrays the features of a local church in every aspect, including its intrinsic nature, element, essence, ground, standing, realm, and relationships. In the opening of this book, although the Apostle Paul was speaking about the church of God in Corinth, as he was speaking about the church in Corinth at the beginning of this epistle, he did not speak about the condition of the church. He especially did not begin with the negative condition of the church. Rather, through 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 to 9, the Apostle Paul presented to us a beautiful, marvelous, and excellent picture of the church of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 says, "To the church of God, which is in Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, the called saints, with all those who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place, who is theirs and ours." This verse reveals to us the five qualifications of a genuine church. First, it is the church of God. The expression, the church of God, indicates that the church is not only being possessed by God, but even more, it has God as its intrinsic nature and essence, which are divine, general, universal, and eternal. Second, it is the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth is a church in a city, remaining in a definite locality and taking it as its standing ground and jurisdiction for its administration in business affairs. As such, it was physical, particular, local, and temporal in time. Third, it is the church sanctified in Christ. The church is a church sanctified in Christ, indicating that it has been sanctified, made holy in Christ, having Christ as its inward element and outward sphere. Fourth, it is composed of the called saints. The church is composed of the saints who have been called by God out of the evil world ruled by Satan. Fifth, the church is with all those who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place. This indicates that the church is not isolated or divisive. It is not separated from other saints. The church should be related with all the saints who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in every place. When a church possesses these five qualifications, as described in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, this church is ready and has the qualifications, the standing, and the ground to receive the dispensing of God's grace and peace. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." The fact that this verse follows after verse 2 indicates that a genuine church is under the dispensing of grace and peace. Grace is the embodiment of the process and consummated triune God to be the enjoyment of His called ones. When we enjoy this grace, the issue is that we experience God as our peace through the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity, from God the Father as the source of the divine Trinity, from the Lord Jesus Christ as the course of the flow of the divine Trinity, and from the Holy Spirit as the reaching of the flow of the divine Trinity, grace and peace can be dispensed into the church for us to receive, enjoy, experience the process and consummated triune God as our grace. Although these revelations were not plainly spoken of in chapter 1, verse 2, they are implied and included in the depths of these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 says, I thank my God always concerning you, based upon the grace of God, which was given to you in Christ Jesus. This verse indicates that a genuine church has the grace of God given to it in Christ, not the condition in itself as its base. The grace of God is not given to the church based upon the spirituality or condition of the church. The grace of God alone is the base for the church. Verse 4 speaks of the grace of God, which was given to you in Christ Jesus. In the New Testament, the phrase in Christ is mainly used in relation to the triune God and the believers corporately. Therefore, the grace of God given to the believers is the triune God himself. If the church life where we are has the five qualifications spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, then we should not stand on the base of our condition or our good conduct. We should stand on the base of grace. On this base, we receive grace. Even grace upon grace. Point A in the outline says, the grace of God is not given to the church based upon the spirituality or condition of the church. Point B, the grace of God alone is the base of the church. Point C, Paul's thanks to God in 1 Corinthians 1:4 was based upon the gift of grace which was given to the church in Christ Jesus. Point D, the church is standing on the base of grace in order that it may receive further grace. Point E, we have received grace as our base, and we are standing upon grace, not upon our attributes, virtues, or excellencies. Therefore, we are qualified to receive more grace, even grace upon grace. John 1:16 says, of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. We are qualified by grace to receive grace upon grace. We must thank the Lord that although in our church life, inevitably there will be many difficulties, like storms, we can stand on the base of grace in our church life to enjoy the waves of grace coming to us. When in the church life where we are, we face many storms of difficulties, we should enjoy even more these waves of grace coming to us, bringing us grace and bringing us peace. This peace is the issue of our enjoying the triune God as grace. We should thank the Lord. We all need to stay in the church life and receive grace, even grace upon grace. Today, we are in the Lord's recovery. The Lord's recovery is composed of genuine churches. When we look at the Lord's recovery, we should not merely see some outward situations and outward conditions. If we merely look at the outward condition of the church, we will very easily be deceived. We need to go on further deeper and higher to see the many intrinsic items of the church, including the inward nature, element, and essence of the church, and the standing and the ground of the church. If we look at the church in this way, we will be kept and not be deceived. We will be able to stand on the base of grace in the corporate church life day by day, to receive grace, experience grace, and enjoy grace, even grace upon grace. If we can have such a personal Christian life and corporate church life, that is a living under grace in God's economy, we will be able to advance to reach the goal of God's economy, which is the body of Christ. This will consummate in the New Jerusalem. May we all have such a living which is under grace in God's economy.
Brothers and sisters, Brother Chen just gave us a very good fellowship on the title of this message. That is the believer's experience of the grace of God in the economy of God, consummating in the church as the organic body of Christ. Our brother first fellowship about in Roman numerals 1, the believer's living under the grace in God's economy. This is a total living of the experiencing the process and consummating the triune God as grace. It is a total living in grace and in the Spirit. We have seen in Roman numeral 2 that a genuine church life is based upon the grace of God given to us in Christ Jesus, even grace upon grace. It may not be given according to the our condition. We really thank the Lord for giving us such a revelation. In God's grace, we have a total living, that is an entire living with which is bountifully taken care of in every aspect. Moreover, the outward condition of the church is not the true base. The true base is the base according to God's grace, and it's the living of the church as God's heart's desire, a living that is grace upon grace. Now let us come to Roman numeral 3, the consummation of the believer's experience of the grace of God in his economy is the church as the organic body of Christ. The believer's personal experience spoken of previously has a common goal, a common purpose. The common goal or purpose is the church as the organic body of Christ. Therefore, we can see here that the church is God's ultimate goal. Its process is to make each one of us to have a total living by grace and in the Spirit. That is a living completely one with God. So I will use Ephesians chapter 1 to briefly explain why the church is the center of God's economy and his ultimate goal and purpose. Ephesians chapter 1. We see that God, before the foundation of the world, according to the good pleasure of his heart and his will, made a counsel, a decision, that we in Christ will be holy and without blemish before him in love. Furthermore, he predestinated us unto sonship through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, that is, the pleasure of his heart, to the praise of the glory of his grace in us. This grace with which we are grace is imparted to us in the beloved, so that he may made known to us the mystery of his will, unto the economy of the fullness of the times. This mystery, this economy, is to head up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things on earth, in him. This shows that God had a plan, and he was there to accomplish it. In time Christ came, the Word became flesh, and he passed through a process that we continue to reveal the power that God calls to operate in Christ in raising him from the dead. This is, of course, alluded to the fact that God, as the Word, became flesh so that he could die and be resurrected after death. God caused the great power to operate in Christ to raise him from the dead and seat him at his right hand in the heavenlies, exalting him far above all rule and authority and power and lordship and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in which is to come. Hallelujah. And he subjected all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. So you see, God passed through this entire process with a goal and intention. And what is it? It is all for the church as his body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. This is God's eternal economy. He did many things, and Christ passed through many processes. In the middle of this portion, Ephesians 1:7, also says that we, those who are chosen and predestinated in the beloved Jesus Christ, can have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of offenses according to the riches of his grace. Then it says that he caused this grace to abound to us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 8, God exercised his multifarious wisdom and prudence to cause grace to abound to us. This is the abundance of grace. That is God causing all things to work together for good in order that his grace can be richly received by us and abound in us. This is what he wants for the building of his church. So we see clearly here that God causes us to experience the grace in his economy is for one goal, one intention, that is to gain his church, the consummation of which is the church as the organic body of Christ. Of course, this process is grace, and grace multifariously multiplies and abounds to us. Now, we come to point 8. Point 8 tells us that what grace is. Grace is the circulating triune God dispensing all that he is into us for our enjoyment. The entire church life depends on grace as the circulation of the divine Trinity within us. Here is a verse reference, 1 Peter 5:10, which says, but the God of all grace, he who has called you into his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, will himself perfect, establish, strengthen, and ground you. This word is quite meaningful. Speaking of all grace, note 2, all grace refers to the many steps of the divine operation on and in us in God's economy. Here are many steps ministering to us the riches of the bountiful supply of the divine life in many aspects. The initial step is to call us. He comes to call us after predestinating us, then step by step until the end where we are glorified. In between are many processes. Between the two steps, between our being called and our enjoying of his eternal glory, are many things of God's loving care, including his disciplining us and his perfecting, establishing, strengthening, and grounding work in us. In all these divine acts, the bountiful supply of the divine life is ministered to us as grace in various experiences. Hence, here it speaks of all grace. This is the circulating God. He flows continuously, flowing in our personal experiences and flowing in the universe. We have a hymn, English 1198, that says, a mighty flowing out is God. In our experience, it continuously brings us forward, step by step, station by station. It begins with his calling, then he regenerated us, saving us step by step so we may be renewed, transformed, and conformed until in him we are fully conformed to the image of God's Son, the same as he is, in order to enter into his glory. This is a circulating God entering into us. Grace as a circulation of the triune God in us is to dispense more of himself into us to accomplish his economy and make us his glorious church. B, the practical point, life and building up of the body of Christ comes forth out of the inward enjoyment of the grace of God. The verse reference here, 1 Corinthians 1:9, says, God is faithful through whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This fellowship brings us into the fellowship of the divine Trinity. This is a going and coming, coming and going in the Spirit. Through our fellowship before him and in him, all this means that in this grace, in this life, in our living, and in our building, we're brought into him. Another verse here is 2 Corinthians 13:14, which says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. To be with us is surely not something outward. To be with us is actually God entering in us to be with us, that is to dwell in us. Then what is grace of the Lord? It is surely the Lord himself as life for our enjoyment. Then the love of God is surely God himself as the source of the grace of the Lord. That the fellowship of the Spirit is the Spirit himself as the transmission of the grace of the Lord with the love of God. By this, the grace of the Lord, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, we are brought into the practical life of his body and its building up. In such a way, the inward enjoyment of grace will bring us into such a building up. Thank the Lord. The love of God is the source because God is the origin. The grace of the Lord is the course, the channel of love. Since the Lord is the expression of God, the fellowship of the Spirit is the impartation of the grace of the Lord with the love of God. Since the Spirit is the transmission of the Lord with God for our experience and enjoyment of the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, with all of their divine virtues. Such transmission unto us enables us to live in a practical church life and to be built up together. This is the practical life and building up of the body of Christ. See, every part of the organic body of Christ is an issue of the grace of God in the economy of God. As we have seen, grace is the enjoyment of the divine Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as life. The life of God is with God the Father as the substance. His substance is gold, typifying the divine nature with all his attributes. This life is with the Son as an element, typified by pearls, which imply renewing by the prevailing death and resurrection of the Lord, produced through the Lord's death and resurrection. Moreover, the life is with the Spirit, as the essence typified by precious stones, which implies transformation. Therefore, all of us being parts of the organic body are produced through the enjoyment of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because every member, every part in the body of Christ must be the triune God himself. Whatever is part of the body of Christ must be Christ and must be the divine Trinity. All other things exist, cannot exist in the body of Christ. Thank the Lord, now we come to D. In the body, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us that are as a result of our experience of the grace of Christ. We saw that in the previous point that the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity is to transmit God himself as life, as a source, into us for our enjoyment. Since life has come into us spontaneously, there will be provisions in life that accompany our growth in life. The growth in life will spontaneously issue in the abilities and functions in life. These different abilities and functions are the gifts produced out of grace, enabling us to accomplish certain things. These gifts are a result of our experience of the grace of Christ. One, this grace is God in Christ as a divine element coming into our being, to our life for our enjoyment. Two, when this grace comes into us, it brings with it the element of certain spiritual skills and abilities, which accompany our growth in life, develop into the gifts of in life so that we may function in the body of Christ to serve God. Romans 12:6 says that we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. The grace given to us is mainly the provisions in life. The provision in life causes our growth in life spontaneously, skill, abilities. We'll accomplish such a growth in life. These are gifts produced by grace. The seven items listed in Romans 12, such as prophecy, service, teaching, etc., are all functions in life and are all gifts. Three, in Romans 12:6, the gifts differ according to grace. In Ephesians 4:7, grace was given according to the gifts. Of course, the more grace, the more growth in life, the greater the abilities and functions. Yet in Ephesians 4:7, grace is given according to the gift. Ephesians 4:7 says that to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of the gift of God. Let's use an illustration, the members of our body. Our body grows as the result of the supply of life. The members are produced and their functions are developed. For example, a little finger has its function, but it is quite small as a member. My leg, literally thigh, has a bigger function, therefore a bigger measure. Since it is bigger, it needs more supply to fulfill its function. Therefore, this is the measure of grace, the supply of grace given in proportion to the measure of the members. So there are both aspects. Thank the Lord. Points A, B, and C. Grace is the divine life that produces and supplies the gifts. B, in Romans 12, it is the grace that produces the gifts. Thus, the gift is according to grace. C, but in Ephesians 4:7, the grace is according to the gift, according to the measure of the gift. So here we can say that grace supplies life, life produces abilities and functions. And these abilities and functions are gifts. Thank the Lord. In the interrelated cycle, the body gradually grows and abilities and functions gradually increase. How we thank the Lord, this is like a child being born. He has a life within that is grace, but he must continually receive the supply of grace so he could gradually grow. As he grows, his members begin to grow and begins to fulfill their function. The more his members function, the more he eats, right? The more he eats, the more he grows. And then the more he grows, the more he eats. So grace and gifts are interrelated and affect one another. Thank the Lord. Now we in the church life should daily enjoy grace in order that our life will grow and that our gifts, the abilities and functions which God measure out to us in the body can grow in measure. In this way, the stature of Christ will attain to its fullness. Now we come to point E. In the church, as the organic body of Christ, we should let no corrupt word proceed out of our mouth, but only that which is good for building up according to the need, that it may give grace to those who hear. This is spoken of in point one. When our word spoken to others should convey grace, Christ is our great enjoyment and supply. Two, the word that builds up others always ministers Christ as grace as a bearer. The hear. Here, Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building up according to the need, that it may give grace to those who hear. The word corrupt here means what is noxious, offensive, or worthless. Our conversation should not corrupt others, but should build them up. The church and every member of the church need a proper building up. Such building up is primarily accomplished by our speaking. Anything that comes out of our mouth should be for the building up of the church and for the saints. Not only so, the word in our mouth should have grace. This grace is the embodiment of God in Christ to be our enjoyment and supply. Our word should minister grace to others. The word that builds others up always ministers Christ as grace to the hearers. Therefore, our word should impart God in Christ as enjoyment to others for their life supply. It is very meaningful that Paul connects grace with our word in verse 29. It indicates that not only must we have grace in the things we consider important, but also must have grace in the details of our daily living. Perhaps we had grace in the big things and neglect grace in the small things, but grace is all the more necessary in the details of our daily living. Perhaps we do not have grace in the small things, but in our daily living, nothing needs more grace than our speaking. But at least said that if we have grace in this aspect of our living, particularly our word, our speaking, then we will have a grace in all other aspects. We also know that the Bible tells us the importance of our speaking. From where do we receive spirit? According to the book of Galatians, from the hearing of faith. Now, how can one hear faith without those who proclaim the faith? Therefore, we must speak faith and infuse it to others so that we can receive the Spirit. 1 Corinthians also tells us that we should earnestly desire to prophesy because prophesying builds up the church. That is to speak forth God and minister Christ to others. Therefore, we have to speak of the building up of the body of Christ. We need to pay attention to our speaking. Thank the Lord, we now have come to Roman numeral 4. Since the function of the grace that produces the gifts after members of the body have a certain measure, we can be entrusted with some commission. Roman numeral 4 says, in Ephesians 3:2, the Apostle Paul says that the stewardship of grace was given to him for the members of the body. God has his varied grace, all kinds of grace. Such grace needs to be dispensed, which requires people to do the work of dispensing. This is called the stewardship of grace. Paul said in Ephesians 3:2, if indeed you have heard the stewardship of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. Point A says, in Ephesians 3:2-9, Paul uses the Greek word oikonomia. In verse 9, this word refers to God's economy, and in verse 2, it refers to the stewardship of the apostles. Verse 9 says that what the economy of the mystery is, which throughout the ages has been hidden in God who created all things. The same Greek word oikonomia is translated as economy in verse 9 and stewardship in verse 2. This Greek word has two roots, oikos, which is house or household, and nomos, which means administration, a law or a rule. The goal of God's household administration is to dispense all the riches of God's house to his household so that they may receive the bountiful supply. B, the stewardship of the grace of God has been given to us so that we may live and serve for the building up of the body of Christ. So we all have a stewardship to dispense all the riches, unsearchable riches of Christ. In Ephesians 3, after verse 2, there are quite a few verses that speak of the gift of grace. I do not have time to speak on them in detail. So let us come to point 1. The stewardship of grace is for the dispensing of the grace of God into his chosen people for the producing and building up of the church as the body of Christ. The verse here is 1 Corinthians 4:1-2, which says, a man should account us in this way, as servants of Christ. Servant meaning ministers and or deacons, and stewardship of the ministry of God. Stewards imply a statue or an office. Ministry or service is what one does. One may have a title at an office. The other also there are also things that one actually does. Since this office has been given to you, you have to do something. That is dispensing, which is to distribute. This is the ministry, the service. Therefore, we say that there is the office and there is the ministry. Those verses continue here. Furthermore, it is sought in stewards that one to be found faithful. Regarding being faithful, let us put it in this way. Since we're stewards, we must know what are we ministering, right? You must know how you will distribute something, the characteristic of that thing, and so forth. Therefore, to have stewardship is not a matter of merely being faithful in distributing. We ourselves first need to enter into the enjoyment of the content of what we are dispensing. There's a Chinese saying, we can enumerate our family treasures, implying that we are familiar with what is precious to us. We should be very clear that we ourselves should be able to enumerate, enjoy, experience the various grace of God, then we will be able to practically and properly dispense the various riches of God into his household members or all the others. Therefore, ministers are appointed, servants appointed specifically for a specific purpose to carry out the work of God. Point two, the stewardship or status of the ministry, that is the function of the apostles. In this status, he's a steward of God's house, ministering Christ as God's grace to God's house. This is functional office. He says later, if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if I not of my own will, I'm entrusted with the stewardship. You cannot run away, but thank the Lord that each one of us can have such an office so that we ourselves must first enter into such enjoyment. Three, Paul's ministry was to dispense the riches of Christ as grace to the believers for the enjoyment. Paul says in Ephesians 3:8, to me, less than the least of all saints was this grace given to announce it to the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ as a gospel. This good news or gospel is grace, right? This is good news that we can enjoy Christ and receive the grace of Christ. This means that we need to become good stewards of this grace. We ourselves enjoy this grace and share this with others. Four, the economy of God is with God himself. This economy is what God purposed in himself before the ages, eternity past, before the foundation of the world. But the stewardship of grace was given not merely to one person, Paul. The stewardship has been given to all the believers. Five, the stewardship of grace is universal. For the body of Christ, all the saints have the stewardship of grace according to God's economy. I will read a verse, Ephesians 3:8. Paul says that he had the gospel, the stewardship. But in 1 Peter 4:10, Peter says, each one as he has received a gift. After we received grace and grows, our gifts is produced, each one, as he has received a gift, ministering it among yourselves as good stewards of the very grace of God. This is clearly spoken to all the believers, not just to Paul. Our concept needs to be changed. Brothers and sisters, our concept is that the stewardship of grace was given to Paul only, or to those who lead. But here, 1 Peter clearly tells us that each one, as he has received a gift, has a gift. Each one of us enjoys Christ and has the life of Christ, which produces the gift in us. Now, the gift can be great or small, but each one has a gift, and it should be ministered among us mutually. Then we are good stewards of the varied grace of God, good stewards of the varied grace. Amen. The Bible uses different words to describe grace. In 1 Peter 4:10, it is very grace. In 1:12, it is multiplied grace. In addition to varied grace in 4:10, there's also all grace in 5:10. So you can see that grace has many aspects. Grace surely needs the administering of all the members so that there will be no lack or shortage of grace in the body, so everyone can receive the supply of grace. So it is indeed like what is spoken of in Ephesians 4. For the building up of the body, each one has to function in the measure of each one part so that the body can build up itself in love. Amen. Thank the Lord. This is God's economy. And it is the way to build up the body of Christ. For this, we ourselves must enjoy grace and need to dispense what we enjoy to others. Therefore, the stewardship of grace is the dispensing of Christ's riches. Grace refers to the riches of Christ. When the riches of Christ are enjoyed by us, these riches become grace. When we enjoy these riches subjectively, that is grace. Paul's ministry was that he himself enjoyed the riches of Christ, and then he dispensed this grace to other believers. The stewardship was according to God's economy. Our general subject is grace in the economy of God. Often, when we think of grace, the typical religious concept is that we receive some benefits gaining this or that. But we need to see here the grace of which we are speaking of is the grace in God's economy. The ultimate purpose of God's economy is to build up the organic body of Christ, to build up the church as the organic body of Christ. We must be clear regarding this very goal and not be veered off from it. Therefore, all the saints, regardless of our age or condition, have a stewardship according to God's economy. This means that every saint can infuse others with the Christ he enjoys. Brother Lee said that even a sister in high school can dispense Christ into her classmates. Dispensing Christ into others is the stewardship according to God's economy. Hallelujah. We all have such a stewardship. Brothers and sisters, are you joyful? God has varied grace, all kinds of abounding grace, full grace, all grace, multifarious grace. These are the unsearchable riches for our daily enjoyment. Therefore, do not say that only Paul has the stewardship. Each one of us has. Did he not say that he was the least of all saints? But if grace was given to him, how much more will be to us? Since he said that he is the least, we should not argue with him. And since we're greater than he is, we need to exercise our spirit all the time, even in intensive or one way, to dispense to Christ we enjoy to others. Hallelujah. We surely need a radical change of concept. Amen. Lord Jesus, God created the heavens and the earth for the dispensing of his economy. Therefore, dispensing is the most crucial matter in the universe, as it is the center of God's economy. Without dispensing, God cannot accomplish his economy. The ultimate purpose of God is to dispense Christ into men, to make them his church, which is his body, consummating in the New Jerusalem as the ultimate expression of the union, mingling, and incorporation of God and man. What is this based upon? It is all based upon the dispensing of the divine grace. We all should be gifts, good stewards of the grace. Amen. Therefore, we need to pick up this burden. We need to receive this burden to enjoy and dispense grace. When we dispense Christ into others and carry out our stewardship will become the dispensing of God within us. In this way, there is an economy, a stewardship, and the dispensing within us. Thank the Lord that we have seen the vision of God's economy in practicality. He gave us a stewardship that through our enjoyment, we should dispense him into others to have a part in the divine dispensing. This is too wonderful. Amen. Brother Lee said that we, the stewards, are like waiters, ones who serve in a restaurant. We have to cook and serve healthy food to others. And where do we prepare the food? In the kitchen. That is the church. Whenever you meet with the church in the body of Christ, you have the riches. Consider the speaking in the seven feasts. How rich it is. What is this? These are the riches of grace. Where in the kitchen, that is the church, if you have nothing to give to others, just come to the kitchen to receive the supply. After we enjoyed it ourselves, we can introduce it to others. We may say, it is so delicious, let me introduce it to you. In this way, you have dispensed Christ to others. Amen. Thank the Lord. Therefore, not only should we have receive grace, eat grace, this grace is called the abounding grace. We should let it fill us and overflow from us. Amen. In this way, we can daily receive his fullness and grace upon grace. Amen. Lastly, Brother Lee said that if you do not know how to practically receive grace, you must enter into the Lord's word. we first enter into the Lord's Word, then we pray with the Lord's Word. To enter into the Lord's Word is to receive grace, and to pray with the Lord's Word is to touch reality. After we enter into the Lord's Word and pray with the Lord's Word, we still need to walk in the Spirit according to the Lord's Word. If we daily do these three things, we will continually receive the supply of grace. We will be enlightened by grace, the experience of God as a reality of grace. This grace will spontaneously join us to the church, that we will be connected with the kitchen and filled with vitality. In this way, we will become proper stewards to dispense Christ to others. Finally, let me fellowship briefly about what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace unto me did not turn out to be in vain, but on the contrary, I labor more abundantly than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. In this verse, Paul mentioned the grace of God three times, the grace of God, his grace, the grace of God. This means that we must enjoy the grace of God. Thank the Lord, not I, but Christ. Now, a brief word of conclusion. When we experience the grace of God in the economy of God, that is a total living of experiencing the process and consummate triune God, we will have the grace and growth in life. And then there will be the manifestation of gifts. The perfecting of gifts produces function. Then we can receive the stewardship of grace to overflow, to dispense the unsearchable riches of Christ as the very grace to others. When every believer has such a total living and the ministry of the stewardship of God's grace, God and us will have one corporate living in which we take him as our life and person, and we move with him as one. We live in a condition such as an organism expressing God himself, consummating in the church as the organic body of Christ. This is also the consummation of the issue of the enjoyment of the grace of God in the economy of God, the accomplishment of God's eternal economy. Thank the Lord. The meeting will stop here.